Kof Dalet Elo, Friday the 19th of September, Rabbi Dr. Svi Belovsky, when the moon is covered, Rosh Hashanah and Rosh Chodesh.
Good morning. It would seem that my attempts to get myself X'd off the list of appropriate speakers has been unsuccessful. So you'll forgive me this morning for having another attempt. The subject of my talk, and some psukim that you probably know, from Kapitel Pei Aleph in Tehillim, which you probably said yesterday, Lamatzer ala gittis la osof, that's the introduction to the kapitel. Harninu leilukim, sing out in joy to God, Uzeinu, our power, our stronghold. Horiu leiloke Yaakov, celebrate or sing out or possibly trumpet to the God of Yaakov. Su zimro, lift up song, usnu soif, and play drums. Kinoir noim imnovel, with the beautiful harp and lyre. Now the posuk I'm interested in, the one that is relevant to Rosh Hashanah, or might be relevant to Rosh Hashanah, Tiku v'chodesh shofar, v'kesel yom chageinu. This posuk is extremely difficult to translate. Tiku v'chodesh shofar is easy. Blow the shofar b'chodesh, whatever b'chodesh means, let's assume it means as a working definition on Rosh Chodesh, the shofar. V'kesel yom chageinu, in something, in the something, on the something, Leyom Chageinu, for the day of our festival. And it carries on, Ki Chok Liyisrael Hu Mishpot Leilokei Yaakov. So the subject of our discussion is to work out, if we can, what the word Bakeser means. So it touches on the type of issue that only oddballs like me find interesting. The kind of philological origins. What can we do? What got digging around in the language can we perform to find out the meaning of the word? And is it legitimate to assume that this word bakeser, which doesn't really appear in Tanakh in this form in any other way, is it legitimate to compare this word to similar words? Now, again, at the risk of sounding peculiar, you may be familiar with the phrase hapax legemonon. The hapax legemonon is a word that appears only once in Tanakh. Rashi has a phrase for it, ein loy dimyon b'mikra. That means there isn't another one like this. What does Rashi do in his pirush on Tanakh when he encounters an unfamiliar word? He tries to find another place in Tanakh where it's obvious from context what it means, extrapolate from that place into the place where we don't understand it, and attempt to explain the meaning that way. It's a standard method, it's used by all Rishonim, and it's also used in academic study as well, to try to work out, well, what do you do if you have a word that doesn't appear anywhere else? Sometimes the Mephoshim give up. Sometimes they have oral or midrashic traditions as to how to read it. So what do we do with the word bakeser? Now, the most obvious thing to do, and Rashi is basing himself on a Gemara in Sanhedrin, I think it's Sadi Vov. So, bachodesh, what do you do? Tiku bachodesh, bechidush halavono. Bechidush halavono means the beginning of the new moon. It means the beginning of the month. So that's okay. Blow the shofar for the beginning of the month. What's it referring to? Careful. Rosh Chodesh. Uskatem b'chatzot zrois, v'chol v'chol, Rosh Chodeshem. It's not necessarily referring to Rosh Hashanah at all. We've become so used to identifying this possibly Rosh Hashanah. If we're starting from the beginning, we ought to not do that yet. We'll see where that comes from. So, b'chodesh b'chidush halavona, says Rashi, at the new moon. B'keseh. So the word b'keseh, says Rashi, in his pirush on the psukim, is Yom Moed Kavua. It's a fixed time, a fixed meeting time, a fixed occasion, a celebratory time. something which is fixed, kavolakach, fixed for this. So bakeser will mean according to this. Also, blow the shofar when on the chodesh, and also on bakeser, on a fixed meeting time, a special occasion, which is designated for this, which is liyom chagenu, which Rashi does not explain here. V'chein, and the posuk, which all the meforshim bring to try to explain the meaning of the word bakeser, which is spelt with a hey, is liyom hakeser yovoy vesoy, in Mishle Zion, and it's the Gemara in Sanhedrin that brings those two psukim together to try to, as it were, work out the meaning of this peculiar word bakeser. The liyom hakeser yovoy vesoy, on the day of keser, which is being read as a special lemoed hakavua, special day. It might be the day of kisei, possibly. It might be a day on which, a day of enthronement, possibly. But it means a special day. So that's Rashi's reading. That in the context, Rashi does not mention Rosh Hashanah. It means blow the shofar on Rosh Chodesh and on special designated days, which are festive for us. Where then do we get the identification of this posuk, so that it's so familiar, it's identified? You read it, and I don't know about you, but as the Thursdays pass and Rosh Hashanah approaches, we've just passed the last Thursday of the year before Rosh Hashanah, you read the posuk and one thinks of Rosh Hashanah. It's designated in many nuschos hatfila before the Kaddish in Maariv. People say this posuk like it's designated for Rosh Hashanah, but there's nothing obvious in the psukim that suggests so. Here's a Gemara in Beitzah. Om Rebbe Abahu, micro, it's in the middle of a sugya, so it's not immediately intelligible. Tikkun v'chodesh shofar bakeser liyom chagenu. Eiza chag shachodesh miskaseboy. And you see here the Gemara is reading the word bakeser as loshen kisui, as covered. Covered. Which is not what Rashi says the word means. Rashi says it means moed kavua, a designated time, a special occasion. So in the Gemara, which is the festival on which the moon is covered, the only Yom Tov in the cycle where the moon is not visible is Rosh Hashanah, because it falls at the beginning of the month. All the other Yom Tov are far enough into the month where the moon will be visible. When is the moon covered? Have Omer ze Rosh Hashanah. And that is... That's the identification, and then it becomes, as it were, a norm in Jewish halachic consciousness that this posuk is referring to Rosh Hashanah also. It's the temptation, of course, it's tikkun v'chodesh, blow the shofar. So it fits very nicely. When do you blow the shofar? On a day when the moon is covered, it's Rosh Hashanah. That's very nice. Tikkun v'chodesh shofar, bakeser liyom chagenu. What's this mean, chodesh? Is chodesh now bakeser the same? If chodesh means the new, does it mean every Rosh Chodesh and also on Rosh Hashanah? But you were doing it anyway on Rosh Hashanah, because it was Rosh Chodesh. Do they mean the same? And, if I drift back to my concern about the hapax, is keser with an aleph and keser with the hay, are they the same word? There may be, and this is the bit that will get me chucked out, there may be variant texts. It's not something we actually talk about very much, but there are some very slight, halakhically and narrative-wise, insignificant variations that exist in known manuscripts, even of Tanakh. And this is the type of thing. Patsua dako. There are variations as to how you spell the word. There's no import to this distinction. It has no difference in any way in terms of the halakhic meaning. But perhaps it's not so clear whether this word should have been spelled with aleph after all. Aleph or hay. What? Well, that's the possibility in Mishle, liyom hakise or kese, the day of the designated time, the special designated time. So what the Gemara is playing on, possibly, is saying, well, it's aleph or hay. What designated special time occurs at a time when it's covered, trying to incorporate both meanings? The answer will be, well, the special occasion when the moon is covered is Rosh Hashanah. Rashi on the Gemara, Shacholish Miskasaboy, the Gemara asks, which occasion will be, which chag is at a time when the moon is covered? Shalavon Miskasaboy, Rashi elaborates, the moon is covered. She'ena Niris L'chol Odom, it is not visible to everyone. And then he goes on, but it's only going to be visible if you're in a certain place. In the morning, the Shankas, the Yoshvi Mizrach, the Arabs, the Yoshvi Marv, explains when it will be visible, but in the evening, it's there, not everywhere can see it, because it's not yet properly visible, as the Gemara explains. Have Omer, Zer Rosh Hashanah, this is Rosh Hashanah. Well, the Lashay Yom Tov, Kavar Nis Mala Halavon, the Mitzvahs, because with all the other Yom Tovim, the moon has at least filled out somewhat, and therefore it is the nearest Bechol Mochim, and is universally visible. That's how Rashi explains it, which means, and this is just a little methodological issue, a lot of time is spent trying to explain discrepancies between Rashi's commentary on Tanakh and his commentary on the Gemara. I'm not convinced, I never have been convinced, this is a worthwhile endeavour. Rashi's trying to tell you in the context of the Psukim what the straightforward meaning is, and in the context of the Gemara what the straightforward meaning is. And the fact that they say different things is of no consequence and does not need to worry about it too much, because Rashi's following his own stated methodology about giving you the Pshat, whatever Pshat means, in context. So that's a kind of a methodological aside. We don't have to get worked up that in the Psukim, Rashi says it means Moed Kavua, and here in the Gemara, he's clearly buying into the idea it means covered, it's got a different meaning. That's not a problem. So we have various other Meforshim who follow the same lines. The Ibn Ezra on the Posuk in Tehillim. Techilas Chiddush Halavona. Tikkun B'Chodesh means the beginning of beginning of the month, we call the new moon, and he quotes Psukim to support this, and so Vanochen Hu Shatokim Gamba Shofar. So though the Pasuk only means, says Uskatem Bechatzotzerois, on Rosh Chodesh, it means they blew Shofar as well. He fudges that, the Ibn Ezra, because he just said, well, it must mean blowing on trumpets and Shofar and so on. And then he says, that's the simple reading, and Chazal tell us it's Rosh Hashanah. What to do with the word chagenu? What's the yom chagenu? So he alerts us to this problem. We normally identify the word chag as a day on which there will be a korban chagiga, which is not Rosh Hashanah. Although, to be fair, the Gemara says ezel chag shachodish miskasavoy. He uses lashon chag, and it then identifies it with Rosh Hashanah. So there may be more. I think there are two meanings of the word chag. There's a technical meaning. You know, people wishing each other, it grates on Hanukkah, wishing each other chag sameach. It kind of doesn't fit. If you're a purist, you can only have a chag on a day when there's a korban chagiga, and Hanukkah and Rosh Hashanah don't qualify. And there may be a more colloquial use, which the Gemara is using here. It means a festival in a general sense, in the way we might use it. So Ibn Ezra, what does chagenu mean? Well, yeah, it means a circle, but in the kind of technical sense, when there's a korban chagiga, so it's every festival. Mis chagenu, what does this mean, says the Ibn Ezra? Zvichas hakvosim, it means that it's when they have a korbanos of lambs, kesofim. And he quotes psukim to Isra chag ba'avosim, and so on, he quotes various psukim. He said, that's all very nice, but he said the correct reading of the word is just like Zman kavua, clearly drawing on the posuk. He says it's liom hakesi yovo vesoi, the posuk, which is liom hakesi yovo vesoi, on the day of the fixed occasion, he will come to his house. So he says that's the real meaning. That's a midrashic reading, and the correct reading is like Rashi says in the psukim. And then you can start to delve into the grammarians. So the Radak, in his Pirush on the relevant psukim, really goes the same way. But more interestingly, a sefer that's not often learned, well learned these days, is a Sefer Shroshim. Sefer Shroshim, the Radak, is one of the most important medieval grammatical compilations. And there's some. I have an edition here. And he talks, and he puts it, the word keser, he writes it with a hey, like our familiar text. But his entry for keser with a hey appears under the root, kaf samach aleph. It's a footnote, which means he sees it all the same thing. And right at the end, having told you what the word keser means, it can mean a kisse if it's punctuated, meaning a throne, and it can be yomar keser yovavese, he quotes the posuk in Mishle, and then he says, v'chein ba'keser liyom chagenu. And he says explicitly, v'hahei tumuras aleph. They are, the hey and the aleph are interchangeable. This worries me slightly. The Rodak is arguably the greatest grammarian of his era, one of the greatest grammarians of Jewish history. But we tend to work on an assumption that every word in Tanakh has a unique meaning, and the Rodak is saying, well, they just mean the same. It's just a linguistic variation which doesn't require any interpretation or understanding and has no real meaning. And you can just interchange them. And it would seem that the Gemara in Sanhedrin, which just says, "Vaches liyom chagenu," and quotes our posuk in Mishlei, would be quite happy with that. Says that it seems the same thing. And it seems to fit well. So, and most of the other Mephoshim who take the same line, you can look at the Metzudas, Bizman Hamuyuad, a special occasion. The question is, what does Chagenu mean? Does Chagenu here mean Sukkos, which will be our first thought, but it doesn't seem to work? Or are we using the Chag in the looser term that it means Rosh Hashanah? So the Metzudas David, Hakbakese, Bizman Hamuyuad, Liyospo Yom Chag, a day which is appointed, designated as a festival for who Rosh Hashanah. So he says explicitly, the Chagenu here is Rosh Hashanah, which means probably the opening part of the Pasuk means Rosh Chodesh in general, and on the special day that coincides with Rosh Chodesh, which is Rosh Hashanah, and so on. And Rashi in his Pirush on Mishlei says much the same thing. So that seems to be the normative understanding, recognizing that although the root keser written in this way doesn't appear elsewhere in Tanakh, it is completely interchangeable with its analogue with an aleph, and the Radak says explicitly that they are interchangeable. Okay, so if we move on from that to a slightly different approach, there's a Tosfos. The Tosfos on the Sugya in Tes Zion in Beitza quotes Rashi, and he doesn't like Rashi's reading. Rashi says, Shalavona ena niris. It was niskasaboy means when the moon is not visible. The moon can't be seen. Okay? So he says, well, the kasha, the fizer, the havale le meim, shalavona miskasa. It should have been a time when the moon is covered. Why is Rashi saying it's the moon when the moon isn't visible? It's not playing on its lack of visibility, it's playing on its coveredness. And Tosfos doesn't like this. So he quotes the standard understanding that even the correct reading of the Pasuk is that it's a designated time, as we've said already. But then he quotes Rabbeinu Meshulam, another one of the Bali Tosfos, Miskasa boi shalai hoya sir shal rosh chodesh karav boi. The word miskasa in the Gemara doesn't mean that the moon is covered, it means shachodesh miskasa boi, means a festival on which there is some kind of covering, some kind of occlusion or invisibility. What invisibility are we referring to? It means where the seir shel rosh chodesh is not offered. Because some of the korbanos of Rosh Chodesh, there's a lot of discussion about it, and it's a complicated Tosfos. But exactly to what extent Rosh Chodesh was celebrated on Rosh Hashanah, and to which korbanos are brought, and how exactly Rosh Chodesh was acknowledged, is less than clear. And the pshat in the Gemara, according to Rabbeinu Meshulam, says miskasa shaloi hoya sa'ir shel Rosh Chodesh karaboy. It's when the regular sa'ir of Rosh, the goat of Rosh Chodesh, which was brought every month, wasn't brought. Right. So, and then he brings a kashya from Rabbeinu Tam, and maybe that's not right. There seems to be a machlokes rishon about whether the seir of Rosh Chodesh was brought on Rosh Hashanah, and so on. And so then later on he brings another explanation. The Yesh Mefroshim is
Can we say Milvad?
Right, but the question is that might be added in. It's a Rabbeinu Meshulam probably wouldn't have that text. There is some discussion, as is evidence from the latter part of the Tosfos, as to what the correct Nusach should be in Musaf when we acknowledge or recall the Korbanos which were brought. What exactly Musaf was brought on Rosh Hashanah, because of the complexity, because it's coincidence of Rosh Chodesh, is subject to some discussion. V'yesh Mefroshim is Kasha She'ei Maskirim Oysa B'Musaf. The Rosh Hashanah is miskaseh in that we don't mention it in Musaf. So maybe what the Gemara is doing, it's a drosha, the Gemara acknowledges it's not the meaning of the Pasuk. The Pasuk can't be talking about the Nusach of Musaf, which was written later. But it's used as a drosha, and so to ein maskir most of a Musaf to Rosh Hashanah. So that's another possibility for debate. Some of the other rabba, you should mention it. So there's a machlokas rishonim about whether we mention these korbanos. But it means that there are rishonim, certainly the Bali Tosfos, who are not entirely comfortable with this understanding. So here you go. I've already had a go at trying to get myself chucked out. Here's another go. Rabbis don't often quote BDB. But it's a useful source. Brown, Driver and Briggs, who is okay, we'll look over. I have a deal with what I'm talking about anyway. Okay, so he says, what's the actual meaning of the word Keser? He says the word Keser means the full moon. The full moon. How can it mean the full moon? So he brings, and this is the troublesome bit. He brings Semitic cognates, means he brings other words from Aramaic and Assyrian, which seem the same word. He's not quite sure what it means. But he suggests, and he brings it in Arabic, which I'm afraid I can't read, that the word Keser means the full moon. So we've got a bit of a problem, because it could be that if this grammatical analysis is right, I thought I was going to have a really good go getting chucked out, so I'm afraid I can't, right? That the posuk should really mean Tikku v'chodesh shofar, which means blow the shofar on Rosh Chodesh, or it might also be Rosh Hashanah, b'Keser. Liyom Chageinu b'Keser is when the moon is full for the fest for the day of Al Chageinu, which will then be Sukkos, because the full moon. Sukkos is on the 15th, which is the night of the full moon. So what do we do with this? It means, and then reluctantly he quotes the posuk in Mishle to suggest that that may have certain something, as opposed to B'Chodesh. So according to academic grammarians, and it's sort of kind of, but it's rather tempting, isn't it? Isn't it tempting? But the problem is, well, where's shofar? Is it on Sukkos? But Keser Liyom Chageinu, if it's very nice, we've got the first part of the positive at the beginning of the month, and the second part of the month talks about the full moon, the middle of the month, and it's Yom Chageinu, which will allow us to use the normative understanding of Chagas, Chagas Sukkos. So right. So you have to assume that Moya Deichem Uskalte Bachatzo Itzrois again. But there's no shofar, so you're gonna have to do what the Rishonim said. It means a shofar like the even a shofar Ochet. Okay, but it's quite tempting. It's interesting that none of the Jewish Mephoreshim say this. None of our Mephoreshim suggest that the word Bakeser really means the middle of the month. But it's quite tempting. And it's quite tempting. So you'll have to go Moyadechem. V'yosim chaschem over Moyadechem or Cheshechem. V'skatim chatzroisis aloroisem v'alziv cheshalmechem. Right? That's the pasuk. Okay. So. Okay, but is that derisa? Does the Torah require that? The Chorah, the only source would be this pasuk.
It's a day of blowing.
It's a day of blowing. It's cut in it. Like the Ibn Ezra, it means there's a day of blowing. And Bakeser Liyom Chageinu means we're celebrating Sukkos with the shofar. And that would actually be a very good original meaning of the pasuk, albeit one that doesn't really square with anything we've seen in traditional Mephoreshim so far. Okay. So, I'm going to have to, for the sake of brevity and good timekeeping, if you're interested in looking, there's an interesting piece just for your edification. If you look in, there's a pirush called Roma Mois Kael, which is the Alshich pirush on Tehillim, and I dug out of the middle of this pirush that he actually says, so Ela Shehu Yom Mechusa, so you've also noticed it says Bakesa Le Yom Chageinu. There's a directive in the Lamed. It's towards Yom Chageinu. So he's suggesting, well, it's going to be a time of revelation. We begin, as he says, and again I was going to read it, but there isn't really time. But we begin at a time of din where the outcome is uncertain. But we know there's a midrash, you know the story that the two parties to a din Torah, they stand, they go in, and they don't know what's going to happen. No one knows, the onlookers don't know what the outcome's going to be. And then, how do we establish the outcome? Well, so the person in ancient times was given some kind of a tikkun of some sort, and in the nimshal, the winner comes out holding a lulav. And the lulav is the symbol that we were zoche of our din. So it's Bakeser, we're going towards Liyom Chageinu. It's a process of celebration which will only be fully evident on Sukkot. Sukkot, this is one of the most frustrating things of being the rabbi of a shul where there is such a large mixture of people, from those who come to a minyan every day and those who are only seen three times a year, shalosh pom bashono, that probably isn't the pos, that probably isn't the pshat. which is that the real, if you like, the climax of the experience, they're not there for it. They miss the best bit, if you like. And that's what the kind, if you like, that's what the Al-Sheikh is alerting us to. So, and the 19th century Mufarshim, who are always very, very keen to make sure that we get a clear shot in the Pasuk, because they are writing in the backdrop of detractors who are trying to attack the integrity of Tanakh. So, let's see what the Netziv has to say about it. So, this is actually in Vayikra. Chaf Gimel, which is the parsha of the Moyadim. V'adu Dorsha Chazal, Zeh Mikra, Ezeh Chodesh Achav Mitzkaz, V'adu Rosh Hashanah, Eino Ela B'dir L'yom L'shum B'kesef Ahei Mashma L'shon Kisui. It's with a hey, V'hochi Mavur B'zayah Kodesh. I haven't got the reference, but he says actually there's a Zayah which would suggest that that works well. Aval Mekom Kam Eimer Kazim P'tu Shuta. Okay, what's the pshat though? That's not the pshat. The Gemara is a Midrash. It's a Midrashic reading. What's the pshat in the Posuk? So, Pshuto, Rosh Hashanah v'Shofar, Hachona l'Yom Achag. Rosh Hashanah and Shofar are a Chag. It's l'Yom. It's directed. All this stuff, Tikkun b'Chodesh Shofar, is towards l'Yom Chageinu. Shechag Shal Sukkos, or Pirish b'Kesef Loshon Hachona. The word b'Kesef means Hachona, preparation. Kumo l'Yom Hakisi. He puts it together. What does Chazal really mean in this Gemara in Sanhedrin? L'Yom Hakesef means towards a day which is fixed, a day we're preparing ourselves for a special occasion, and on that day he will come to his home. Pirish, there's a typo. There's a yom hu achon lechag sukkos. What it's telling us is that this day is a preparation for sukkos. Shaz nidoinim al amayim, because then there will be the big judgment, the real judgment is how successful for parnasa, for water for the year ahead. Shavazer toloi parnasas kol hashana. So he understands by putting the two together, and he's incorporating, he is accepting the drosha in Chazal, the two psukim in Tehillim and Mishlei go together. But he reads it like this: Tikkun b'Chodesh Shofar, blow the shofar on the Rosh Hashanah, b'Keseh l'Yom Chageinu. It's still not that easy to read, but b'Keseh means that toward on the appointed day, which will be, as it were, the appointed day, which is the climax of this process, because the shofar is Leyom Chageinu, is directed towards the climax of the shofar. It's hard to read, but that's what he's doing it. Listen to Rav Hirsch. Again, in the same backdrop, although they have different methodologies. And with this, I will finish. Asaf declares, remember, this is Rav Hirsch on Tehillim, and it's Lamatzer ala Gittis, which probably is some kind of instrument, La Asaf. So that's why he refers to Asaf declares. But remember at the same time, remember this was written in German and then translated into English, not by me, that this cheerfulness can be derived only from earnest and conscientious loyalty to our duty, as is proclaimed for all times by the sound of the shofar in Rosh Hashanah, that precedes the playing of the timbrels and harps on the Feast of Sukkos. It's preparatory. It's a preparation. It's a moment where we are the Yom Chageinu, if you like, the unqualified Chag, with the Zman Simchoseinu. That's the objective. That's the end point. But Keseh, the day of the new moon, is called Keseh, derived from Keseh cover, to veil. And he's buying into the Gemara in Beitzah. Because the moon is not visible on that day, B'Keseh L'Yom Chageinu is that day of the new moon which belongs to the feast. It's a day which already has its eye on Sukkos, which leads up to the feast that begins with the full moon on the 15th day of the month of Tishri, which is, of course, the first night of Sukkos. The eclipsing of the new moon on Rosh Hashanah is quite appropriate to the purpose of that day, namely, to recall to our minds the task to strive upward and to return to the light. The appearance of the full moon on the Feast of Tabernacles, Sukkos to us, on the other hand, is in keeping with the purpose of that holiday, which is to encourage us to build the tabernacles of our own lives with trust and confidence and to labour on earth with joy and serenity before God. even though all the feasts of pilgrimage regarding are called Chagim, the word Chag is preferably used with particular reference to the Feast of Sukkot, which is the feast especially designated for rejoicing before God. Because it begins this passage, Harninu Leilukim, all of this Harin, all these celebrations, Suzimru Snusoif, Kino Ninim in Novel, according to Hirsch, it's referring to Sukkot. And in order to get there, you have to first of all Tiku Bachodesh Shofar, because that celebration can only happen by Kesel Yom Chageinu. And the Liyom, it's the Lamed, Liyom, which really gives us thing. And so he says, since the word Keseh, or Kiseh, meaning throne, though usually spelt Kiseh, with an Aleph, is spelt with a He. You see, he's put Hirsch, sometimes people don't quite know what he's doing, but he's putting everything together, all the things, all the grammatical things, the Gemara, but also fidelity to the original meaning of the Pasuk. That Yom HaKeseh in the book of Proverbs, as well as the word Keseh here, might refer to the significance of Rosh Hashanah as the day of enthronement. HaKeseh means a day where things are covered, but HaKadosh Baruch Hu is being enthroned, the coronation ceremony, which is the way we understand Rosh Hashanah. The day on which we should think of God as sitting upon the throne of his world sovereignty, as is described in the Malchus. And so I think with great genius, Rav Hirsch ties together all the themes, offers an explanation which simultaneously protects Chazal's traditional understanding of the relationship between the word with the hay and the word with the aleph, but also properly does what we want it to do with Yom Chageinu, that it's all towards the Chag of Sukkot. And in fact, the capital, according to Rav Hirsch, is about Sukkot and how to get there. Have a good day.